नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास नाथोयायं उदीरये ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, Text 27. Explanation of the Vedic Path. Kamina Kripana Lukha Ushpeshu Falabhutaya Agni Mukta Bhuma Thanta Svam lokam navidanti te Kamina kripana lukta Ushpeshu phala buddhaya Agni mukta duma kanta Svam lokam navidanti te Kāminaha, lusty persons, kripanaha, miserly, luptaha, greedy, pushteshu, flowers, phalabuddhaya, thinking to be the ultimate fruits, agni, by fire, muktaha, bewildered, dumatandaha, suffocating from smoke, svam, their own, lokam, identity, navidanti, do not recognize, they. Translation, those who are full of lust, avarice and greed, mistake, mere flowers to be the actual fruit of life, bewildered by the glare of fire and suffocated by smoke, they cannot recognize their own true identity. Purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Somebody has a napkin or something. Those attached to female association become proud separatists, desiring everything for their personal gratification and that of their lady friends.
Thank you.
Very organized. Those attached to female association become proud separatists, desiring everything for their personal gratification and that of their lady friends. They become greedy misers, full of anxiety and envy. Such unfortunate persons mistake the flowery statements of the Vedas to be the highest perfection of life. The word Agni Mukta, bewildered by fire, indicates that such persons consider Vedic fire sacrifices, awarding material benefit, to be the highest religious truth. And thus they merge into ignorance. Fire produces smoke, which obscures one's vision. Similarly, the path of fruitive fire sacrifices is cloudy and obscure, without clear understanding of the spirit soul. The Lord here clearly states that fruitive religionists cannot understand their actual spiritual identity, nor do they realize the genuine shelter of the spirit soul in the kingdom of God. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vidais chasarvaya aham eva vidya. All Vedic knowledge is actually meant to lead one to pure love of Godhead. Lord Krishna is certainly the absolute truth, and to love Him is the ultimate purpose of our existence. The Vedic knowledge patiently tries to bring the conditioned soul to this perfection of pure Krishna consciousness. Kamina kripana lubdha pushpeshu phala buddhaya agnibuddha humatanta samlokam navidantite. Those who are full of lust, avarice and greed mistake mere flowers to be the actual fruit of life. Bewildered by the glare of fire and suffocated by its smoke, they cannot recognize their own true identity. Om agyanti mirandasya kinanjana salakaya prakshuro militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki Hare Krishna. Sorry for my English, sometimes it's a little... It's not my mother language. And so I... Please forgive some words maybe I use not in its proper, exact proper way. I'll do my best. So, like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that he has given sacrifice to humanity for what? Who knows? He has given sacrifice to humanity for?
Happiness.
To be happy in this world. Yes. To become happy in the material world. Right? Third chapter, Bhagavad Gita. And then in the seventh chapter he says, those who think like that are fools. So it's kind of contradictory. He's saying, you know, I have given these sacrifices to become people happy in this world, the third chapter, and rain depend on prescribed duties, sacrifice, rain, grains, prosperity, like that. And then he says, this is foolish. So, can confuse, of course, confuse people reading the Vedic literature, which is very, very vast. So how to understand this contradiction? It's actually something that we find when we preach as well, that different religions emphasize different processes. Krishna says that there's the karma kanda way and there's the jnana kanda way, which are very much opposed to each other. And it gets very confusing sometimes if, you know, Buddhist philosophy, which is more inclined to jnana kanda, then Christian philosophy, which is more inclined to karma kanda, and then God in between, and, you know, it's like very confusing. Somebody has found it to be confusing before coming a devotee, talking about the different religions. Yes, very confusing. Yes, I mean, it's like a sea of confusion. I think there's nothing more confusing than talking about religion. If you're not a devotee, it's really so much speculation going on. course, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whatever you can achieve by a small will, you can achieve by a big will, which is the proper understanding. In India, it's common that people have different wills. The ancient times, now it also has changed with, of course, globalization, modernization. But in Vedic culture, when a village was not close to a sea or a river, then they had different wills. And it's a whole very, very interesting system. They had whole rivers flowing into different wells. Then they had a well for washing the clothes. They had a well for drinking. They had a well for responding to the calls of nature. So different wells. You don't do the same thing at the same well. What you can see today, actually, in the big cities, which is very dirty. But originally they had different wells. But if a village was near a river, then there were no needs of different wells. Wells, yes. There's no need to do everything there, right? Because it's a big amount of water. So like that, for somebody who is advanced, opulent in spiritual life, of course it's not necessary to follow these rules and regulations. Even though he does, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he does so to instruct others. It's never there is a avatut, of course, that the possibility of avatut exists, but it's not very much our tradition. Srila Prabhupada was always very particular that we shouldn't artificially pose ourselves in a more advanced position that we're actually in. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a householder, 11 children, right? 11 children. Was a pure devotee. Prabhupada, five, but one child left home at an early age, so he says he had 4 children, but pure devotee, it's not, they do this inferior duty to show the populace, yes, or to show the common people how to act. Sometimes we misunderstand. Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharmam parityaya mamikam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami maha shucha. We should abandon these different dharmas, religious duties, and surrender unto me. Now, of course, he says that at the end of Bhagavad Gita, but what does it mean, parityaya? Does it really mean we have to reject? He doesn't say you have to reject. He says you have to abandon. What Krishna actually, I understand, studying Bhakti Shastri, you abandon the attachment to inferior duties. But it's not that you reject them in themselves. Rupa Goswami is particularly, you know, Yukta Vairagya, even Prabhupada made it one of the 4 main statements for ISKCON. Utility is the principle. If something is useful in devotional service, then you have to use it. If you actually don't use it, then you're negligent. You're being negligent. So paritayal means actually we occupy ourselves in these inferior dharmas, Varnasham Dharma, for example, but we are not attached to it. Like somebody's a householder, he's a father. If he rejects to be a father and he comes to the temple president and says, I want to join the temple, I've had enough of family life, I want to surrender. What does the temple president say? Go immediately back to your house. Your family is a mode of passion. Renunciation in the mode of passion. At least that's supposed what the temple president should say. Depends on the case, of course, but normally, in general, if somebody just comes, you know, with this argument, I'm just tired of it, and we renounce because it's becoming difficult. That's renunciation in the mode of passion. So this is not what is recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita says you have to renounce in the mode of goodness. So a father who has a family, when it's becoming difficult, it's not that, or a mother, father, I am talking about mother and father. If it's becoming difficult, then what they actually have to do is they have to try to understand how to get free of the difficulty, not get affected by the material circumstances. Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita, then in the fourth chapter, Krishna speaks about the person who is satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Because according to your karma, you get enough or you don't get enough. You cannot change this. So you have to try to become satisfied. So a father actually comes to the understanding that I'm not a father, I'm just doing a role, playing a role in this world. That is what Krishna is trying to explain. Arjuna also, he says, you're a warrior, but actually you're a spirit soul. And over that, you're a servant of Krishna, but you act as a warrior, but you're not attached to the fruit, right? So a father acts as a father, but he's not attached to the fruit. He does his best to educate his children, but he always understands that actually my real duty is beyond being a father or a mother. My real identity is I'm a spirit soul. And above that, there's the next step. If he goes to the bank and somebody asks him, who are you? I'm a spirit soul. That's jnana yoga, right? It's not very practical. But Krishna says, it's not enough just to be a renunciant and think, you know, I'm not this body, I'm not a father, I'm not an Australian, I'm not... That is true, but you also are doing a certain role in this world. And you're a servant of Krishna, actually. So Krishna consciousness is actually very practical, and it makes one see the real circumstances we're in. What is this material world all about? Who are we? What is our role, duty to get out? That's Bhagavad Gita. So if we're sincere in our devotional service, these realizations will come, undoubtedly. That our real duty is to surrender at all times, even if it's becoming difficult, and play our role nicely. Not to play our role nicely is sinful. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita, someone who is making himself a renunciant, but he's attached actually, he's a miser. He's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. So like that, we have to play our role nicely and at the same time understand our higher duty, which is becoming surrendered to Krishna and detached from the different roles we are playing in this world. Just like an actor. An actor, he performs a certain role, and we can see after the show is over, he's not, you know, at least that's what's supposed. Today we see sometimes they think themselves even a vampire after the movie, right? People make this whole thing up, you know. But actually he's not the role. It's crazy if he thinks he's the role. See this publicity about this movie. I always see, you know, people make the whole thing up, and he thinks himself, you know, something like that. It's completely crazy. At least maybe he's not, but all the people who think like that, it's, I mean, they're crazy. What's that? So like this material world is like that actually. Everybody thinks himself the role. He walks out of the theater or the movie and he thinks, I am, you know, isn't that. So a good, what I can personally recommend, a good medicine to advance quickly in Krishna consciousness, where you can see Maya face to face, and you can see the spirit soul, if you do it nicely, is book distribution. I tell you this. You go out, you have, that's why it's so, sometimes it's kind of mood in the temple where nobody's, you know, making the first step, but actually book distribution is a very, very powerful purification. There's one thing is you have your service. I'm not saying you should now leave your service and, you know, don't take me wrong, but just emphasizing a bit. I don't want to disorganize the temple roster. But it's a fact that one thing is you do service and you're with devotees and preaching, but one thing is you go out there and you face the enemy. That's a fact. Of course, it's, you know, that's another thing, but it's kind of funny that our religion, the biggest problem we have is too many people come. right? To our temples. That's a big problem. I've seen it everywhere. Especially, not so much here, or we think, not so much here, but it's actually a fact that we're not prepared to take care of so many people that want to join and know more about Krishna consciousness. Especially even more in third world countries where there's so much, you know, difficulty, material difficulty, people just hanker for answers. So we have, you know, to build the facilities to accommodate and satisfy all these people and devotees, which is very done nicely here. Congratulations. But at the same time, to become strong ourselves means the more you get into a battle, the more experienced, the faster experienced you become. When you approach a person, I remember I was just a new devotee and I was not very much into religions, but I liked knowledge. So one devotee, I was just coming to Mangalarti, joining the temple, and the devotee was starting to talk to me about book distribution. I was like, I'm never going to do this. This is preach to other, you know, of course we all think everybody should, you know, have his own way, and you know, you have to let it go. Everybody has his own path and, you know, spiritual inquiry, and you just, you know, take care of this. So to go out and tell people what's right and what's wrong, that's crazy. What to say? What to say? Or give them a book and ask for money? That's like, I've never seen that even in the religions. I mean, that's actually what distinguishes us from. I tell you this honestly. This book distribution yagya is what really distinguishes us from even other Vaishnava traditions. Not, I haven't seen, maybe, you know, some give a few books out here and there, but to go out and get donations for books from people who you do not even know, and it's only ISKCON does that really in the world, isn't it? Only ISKCON does that. That's why it's somebody like me who likes challenges, it's like, you know, you have to stay here because of false ego. You want, you know, you want the highest, so you have to stay. But it's the truth. I mean, to go out and ask people for a donation for a religious book, it's just. And even the authorities of the government, they can't believe it. It's just, how can you sell religion? Of course, we're not selling. We are making sure that the person takes it seriously. That's why Prabhupada told us to ask for a donation. When I was doing book distribution in the Los Angeles airport, a few years ago, with a lot of devotees who are actually around here in New Zealand and Australia, we were at the airport. They had a nice team. Of course, the airport is so many people go through and you never see them again, so you really can kind of go a little. When you hear Melbourne, you know, you same district, you meet the same people again, so you have to be a little more nice. Because they're coming back, right? And you're dealing with. But in the Los Angeles airport, because we have a court case since 30 years, they can't throw us out. And people who pass by, you see, you know, a Chinese person, and you think, if he doesn't take a book, when is he getting another opportunity to take the Krishna consciousness? So you really go for it, which means you almost kill the guy. I was like, you know, the mood I'm just talking about, you know, the whole, he's like very strong, right? Very, you know, it's like Prabhupada used this example, you know, a rhinoceros. So you have a rifle with one bullet. So a rhinoceros is coming, running towards you, and you have one bullet, right? So you have to be pretty, make sure that you don't miss, right? And you have to let it come pretty close, but you don't shoot too close, otherwise you're gone. So if you kill the rhinoceros, everybody's like, whoa, very good. And if you don't, then everybody goes like, I mean, it was difficult, you know, just one bullet and the rhinoceros is pretty, not so easy. So you don't have anything to lose. If you have to kill a rhinoceros, there's not much to lose. So if you go out there, actually, there's not much to lose. I mean, if people throw you over, walk on up, you know, over you, and actually here people are very nice, but I can say, and it sometimes happens, you know, what are you doing here, and you guys are just a disease, you know, and things like this, I hate you guys. Yes, at least in the Los Angeles airport it gets very hot sometimes. So there's nothing to lose, and remember, you go to this place, you go like, really, you know, this is the medicine for his life, what other opportunity does he have? And you really go like, especially Americans who are very frustrated, so you have to be very strong. So what was the point? I went... Let's come back to the branch. Donation, yes. So when I gave people a book, of course you give them the book, you say something about, you know, this is how to reduce stress and this is to reduce stress. And they say, really? Yeah. If you follow this, really, you get really peaceful. If you're peaceful, then people really believe you. So, then of course you go to the difficult part, which is we take donations. And I remember always, in this moment, I always would meditate. It's like a granite, you know, this... who explode after 10 seconds, right? A grenade. When people give you Lakshmi, Prabhupada says, if they give you Lakshmi, it's just a question of time until actually Krishna has already accepted them. And it's a question of time until they become devotees. So it's like a Hans grenade. And you're actually, if they give you back the book and say no, then they give you back the Hans grenade. But if they actually take the book, it's like you are activating it, and see you then. Instead of giving Lakshmi, then Krishna actually becomes involved. It's a question of time until they open the book and it explodes in their minds. Boom. It's just a question of time. So this meditation was always there, like, you know, people, because people are rushing, you do a mantra, it's just very like, excuse me, sir, are you flying out? Yes. Oh, have a look at this. We show this to all the nice people in a rush. You're in a rush? Yes. This helps you avoid stress, actually. You have to make the person say yes, right? So it takes two times yes, then you ask for the donation, he will say yes. So, are you in a rush? Yes. This helps to avoid stress. You heard about stress? Yeah. So, people give a donation. We're monks. You heard about monks? Yeah. So people give a donation. Very, you know, don't even talk a lot much about the book or anything. You heard about monks? Like that. Very quick. But it's actually, what does your 2 or 3 minutes of preaching do if he walks away found a book? So we get a lot of books, 80 big books a day. Easy. Of course, the prices were good, $5 for like the science of self-realization, $5. It was, the cost was $2.70, so we gave him $5. He did love books. It was fun. I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's really, if you, of course, we don't focus on quantity, but if you focus on quality, really try to save the person, which is, you know, he comes out of the ocean and you give him the book and he grabs it and then he gives it back to you, then it's like he drowns back into Kali Yuga. You know? So you're meditating on these things, and if he takes the book, it's like the grenade, you know, Ariol, Ariol. Sometimes, of course, sometimes people will throw the book into the trash, rubbish bin. Then it's not about stress, it's not about yoga, really, it's something religious. Throw it away. But they told, asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, they're throwing their own babies into the rubbish, you know, by abortion. So what can be done? At least he has given something to Krishna, you know, the benefit is there. And the people who would do the rubbish, they came back with this whole pile of books and sell it back to the devotees. Yes? So they will come and say, so how much is we sell the books? $5. Sometimes people give less, sometimes they give 10, 20. But so the people, they would, you know, clean up, they will come with these books and the devotees will buy them back for $1 or even less, but still they will come and say, how much do I get for this? And you, no, we pay $1 for each of these books. They go, what? These are your books, yeah? Of course the devotee wants them, but he makes just, you know, no, we're not interested in these books, like that. Outside, you know, he makes himself there. No, 50 cents for the small ones and $1 for the big one. And because there's nothing to lose, they just sell it back. So, yes, the book explodes in the consciousness. I got a book when I was 12. One devotee, he came to... I was just 12 and... Switzerland, of course, when you're 12, then you sit in front. You can't sit in front after 12 of the car. You don't have to sit in the back anymore. So we were coming from our vacation in the Swiss Alps. We were driving through a mall, a big supermarket, the station the car there, and my parents would go to buy some things, ice cream. My brother and me, we were sitting in the car, so I was sitting in front, so somebody came and put two books in my hand and saying something about India and George Harrison, and because I was a fan of the Beatles, But then he said, a donation. I was just a 12-year-old kid, so I had 10 Swiss francs, but I didn't want to. So actually my brother which he's a complete atheist, but he got the benefit because he said, like, yes, yeah. And I said, what? I said, give him a donation. And I, okay, I pulled out 10 franc. And then because it were two Krishna books, he said, which is about $7, the devotee said, and something for a coffee. A few coins for a coffee you have. Okay, yes, a few coins. So he recovered the cost. Actually, the devotee, I think it was Hari Namananda, he was a terrible cook, just to eat it. He has decorated 1,000 books in one day, in a marathon. He was terrible, but I'm not sure, but I think it was him. And he was... It's funny, but I know them all, and then big book distribution those days in Switzerland, 80s. And I got a book too. I had it there 6-10 years on my beside your bed on the, what's that called? And yeah, I had it there. I was always thinking I'm going to read this book. I opened, get to the preface. Sometimes I would pass the preface, but then the introduction, she's sweet. So I had years and years thinking I'm going to read this book until once I went to the first, say, okay, I skip the introduction, I read first chapter. There was a Brahma, the highest planets, and the earth in form of a cow, Purusha Shukta. Wow, it's very amazing. I just read the word first page, just one page, and I closed the book. I think, wow, this is so profound. You have to read it slowly. So, but I read this first, and I remember some family problems were there. And so I just reading that book, because father was leaving the family. It was very difficult. Not very difficult, but it was like, moment, and just at that time I opened that book, just read a page, and I thought, well, I really want to know the world. I just don't want to get into family life and, you know, this and that. I want to travel, know the world. I was 18, so this desire stayed for 3 years, and I traveled off, and my mother was so you're coming back in a few months? I said, maybe. But son, you know, are you going to study? Maybe. Yeah, how many months? 3? Maybe 6, yeah. I never get back because Krishna took me in South America, so. That was it. But I know it started when I read the first page of the Krishna book. Even Prabhupada says, even somebody reads one page, his life changes. I know that. Personal experience. My life changed when I opened this book. The grenade exploded in my consciousness. Even though it was all about, you know, demigods, and I didn't understand a word, or, you know, big culture and fantasy. Prabhupada actually says in the introduction of the book that the desire for science fiction and fantasy stories, right? We canalize this by this Krishna book and give people the Krishna stories so they can become Krishna conscious by this desire of knowing, you know, fantasy stories. And so that's what happened then. So it's really amazing. I actually took the books with me on the travel, when I traveled off. One of the few belongings, it's amazing, but I left them somewhere. Too heavy. Typical backpacker excuses, it's too heavy. Right? You got that? If you distribute books, you take a backpack, and oh, I have so much baggage. So you take out the soft Bhagavad Gita and you say, here's the travel copy. and try that one. So yes, travel copy, just give a donation. Where are you heading to next station? Like that. Distract his mind from the money. When you ask for a donation, you immediately have to make a question. You should say, you know, people give a donation. So you're heading for New Zealand, or where are you going? So people, you know, I'm actually going to Fiji. Oh, you've been to Fiji before? So that's another technique when you ask for a donation. It's true, it works. Somebody said, so you are, well, most people give $10, $20. So you are a businessman or an engineer or? I work for, I don't know, this car company. Oh, so you're a manager there? Yes, I'm a manager there. Okay, so you must be a very important person in the company. No, not so. So it's very important. You have to get a smile out of the person. If you get this smile, you make him say yes 3 times, 2 times. Don't lose time. Once you made him say 2 times yes, don't waste time. Don't go no. Get for the donation. Don't waste your time. So you say, so you know, this, you're in a rush, yeah. You know, these books talk about yoga, meditation. You heard about yoga? Yeah. So we're monks, you know, you heard about monks. We just ask for a donation. If he's positive, of course, if he's negative, then you have to go by another way. So, you're from Melbourne? You're from out of town? I'm just visiting. Oh, what do you do here? I'm just visiting my family. Oh, you're rich. Oh, okay. So everything okay with the family? They're happy you're there? Yeah, of course. And then when you get the smile, you say, okay, this helps avoid stress. You can read it when you go on your back home. You're taking the airplane or by bus? Oh, going by the airplane. Oh, you can read it. If there's somebody just monks, you heard about monks? Yes. The people give a donation. So, when are you going back? Right? You have to make a question immediately after you ask for the donation. So when are you heading back? I was here for a month. I'm flying back tomorrow. Oh, so have a good trip. I hope you do good. How many do you have? You have kids? Yes. So yeah, we just, you know, maybe you can give the book to your kids one day. They like to read. Okay. Few techniques. But the point actually of the class is that when you go out, you can see Maya directly into the eyes. You can see the philosophical misconceptions people have in their head. You can immediately see it if you become a little experienced. If you go out there and do books, especially big books, any book of Prabhupada, but you immediately, the response of the person is immediately, it's Krishna conscious, even though he's a very contaminated person, but he's, the reciprocation is on the soul. It's not a material thing, and whatever contaminations is there, he's trying to defend himself, right? Because what you're doing goes to the soul, and he's trying to, you know, protect himself, and he will say so many things, but if you're smart and determined, you can break the ice. And if you get to the soul and you get this smile, you get this positive, and he gives a donation, it's a whole meditation actually. I tell you, it's very purifying. It's a big art. And you can see your own contaminations immediately also. Your attachments. We don't even know sometimes what we are attached to. But the people speaking to us, they immediately pointed out what our attachment, what's impeding that Krishna can act through us. Because of our contamination, we are an impediment, actually. If we are pure, our consciousness is pure, then Krishna acts through us. So the person responds according to our contaminations. That's a fact. So you can see Maya face to face. Maya inside your consciousness. Good. So, any question? Yes. Hare Krishna.
I tried this thing before. I didn't know that this is a technique. On books that immediately after I asked for the donation, I just saw that people were thinking, "Oh, money! I'm gonna lose my money." I don't know. So I just started saying something or asking something, and sometimes it worked, but sometimes they just answering the question or listening to me, they just forgot about the money and I had to ask again to put the money back to the money, and so not very fortunate, but sometimes so
yes. Yes, you do two questions or so, one or two questions, and then you kind of relate what he says and go back to the donation.
You mean after?
Yes. So people get the donation. So you are a businesswoman or just a housewife? Oh, I have 3 kids. Oh, wow, 3 kids. A lot of work. Oh, yes, it's so much work. So how old are they? Well, one is 10. Oh, yeah, maybe in a few years you can give him the book too after you have read it. So people just get the donation. You say something which is beyond a little bit, not too far, but a little bit beyond him. You say, "You're a doctor or a full-time actor?" Something like that. I'm just a normal worker. I'm just a normal guy. Prabhupada actually says that Bilvamangala Thakur, 100 years ago, he recommends this formula. This is not our formula. Prabhupada speaks in a class to devotees, I think in Los Angeles. He says, "You flatter the person." Of course, you don't do this in a, you know, you don't to exploit the person, but for Krishna, you flatter the person a bit. If you're not in good consciousness, the person will immediately know when, you know. But if you're in good consciousness, you really mean it. You say, you know, you're a doctor or... Bilvamangala Thakur, he said, he recommended, Prabhupada talks about it. He would go door to door and he would say to people, people would come out and say yes. And he say, he would, you know, some interaction, the person would say, you know, this and that. And he would say, "Yes, you look, seems like you're a big sadhu, right?" In India, this is like a sadhu. The person immediately would become open to what he would have to say. He'd say, "Oh, this sounds like you're a big sadhu." The person says, "Oh, yes." "Please now forget everything about your education and just surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya." Right? That's how he would preach. So Prabhupada says we should use the same technique. We should make feel not flattering, you know, it's just they become interested in you. Because if you say something nice, like, "That's a nice shirt that you're wearing. I like that shirt." People go, "Oh, yes. What do you have there?" Like that. It has to be expert, but that is the technique. Yes, it's a lot of things you can say, but it has to be also from your heart. It's not that you just, you know, try to cheat people, but it has to come from the heart, you know. That's, you know, sometimes in Los Angeles, the military, young military kids will go through, and the devotees would say, "Oh, I like that hairstyle, you know, he's shaved up." The devotees also shaved up, and he say, "Oh, I like that hairstyle." The person will go, "Oh, yes, yes." Like that, become interested. And then, you know, we show this to all, please check this out, we show this to all the nice young people coming through. Like that. So you're a military, then you say something like, you're in the United States, they have this E1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so 7. So of course he's a 20-year-old kid, he's like E1 or E2, which is new in the military. But you say like, "So you're E4 or E5? And he goes like, "Oh no, I'm just E1, I'm just, you know, like, because E4 or 5 is like an officer or a, you know." So the person, "Now I'm just," he smiles, and, you know. So like that, you break the ice, you make him, and then you make him say yes, and you monks, this is about yoga, this helps to avoid stress. If people are very much in a rush, then you can use that one. This helps to avoid stress, actually. You're in a rush? Yes, okay. So this is for you. We are monks, we just ask for a donation. And if so you're a businessman? You know, you ask for a donation. Now so you're a businessman or an engineer? I do business. Oh, really? A big company or? Yeah, I work for, I don't know, General Motors. Oh, wow. Yeah, I hope you enjoy this book. You know, big people have to have a nice philosophy in life. This teaches you. You're a leader, so this book is actually for leaders. That's what it says in the fourth chapter. Krishna says, you know, this is for the kings, and right? Also, you're a leader. This book is actually for leaders. Please give a donation. So you repeat it. And if he goes again, he goes, then you have to go around again, and sometimes works. The thing is, don't be attached to the result. Okay, some other question? Yes?
How do you remain attached? How do you remain attached from your own beliefs?
You glorify Krishna. You start to glorify yourself, you think you're the doer, you are giving the books that you have already done $250 today. Then, you know, you think you're the one who has done that. But if you actually glorify Krishna, you say something Krishna conscious, then you stay humble. Just like we say, actually, we say something which is, you know, we don't say this is about surrender to God, but we say it helps avoid stress, which is, you know, kind of similar thing, but we say it in their language, right? So you glorify Krishna, you say this is about yoga, but about the real yoga, not the one, you know, the fancy thing that, you know, that they charge so much money. This is about the real yoga, which goes deeper, you know. Like that. Here people pay a lot of money for yoga. Of course we also charge yoga. But some yoga societies, they charge so much, and just, you know, a few exercises. At least we give them Krishna consciousness as well. So you say this is the real yoga, we teach the real yoga, you can come. Beyond the exercise, there is more. Like that. So you're actually talking about Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is that there is more. The whole sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that actually, you know, Hatha Yoga is not very practical Kali Yuga, right? The whole chapter. sixth chapter, at the end Krishna says, Arjuna says, it's not very practical. It's the truth. We use it as a preaching method, but beyond that, so you say, no, this goes beyond. This goes actually to the consciousness. This is the yoga of consciousness, how to change your consciousness. Like that. So you're glorifying Krishna. You're not just saying some superficial, you know, fancy things. You're actually saying that in their language, then you will see there's a result, the art of preaching. So you glorify Krishna, but you have to be smart to put it into their language. Yes? Anything else? Yes? Sorry, I can't hear you well.
In the beginning of the class, you were explaining how we shouldn't be affected by our material circumstances, and our real duty is to surrender at all times. And so I was wondering if you could elaborate a little more. It's often easy for us to surrender when we get what we want in life.
Say the last sentence again, please.
Yes. What we want in life, but how to surrender when there's some faith that we don't necessarily like materially, but how to have that same surrender that is much easier to have when you're getting what you want.
Don't be artificial. If you are attached to material circumstances, then go safe. If the material circumstances are frying you out, you have to make an adjustment. Be practical. Remember, when I was Santiago taking over the temple, it was so tough, cold, no heating, everything dirty, no Lakshmi. But I just, probably by my false ego also, just say, okay, we have to do it. And it was a strain, but in the end it was good. But don't strain yourself too much. Strain yourself a bit all the time. That's, you know, yeah, there has to be some, there has to be improvement. Just a bit, you know. Do the extra step, but don't strain yourself too much. Be patient. One of the, you know, important qualities we have to develop in Krishna consciousness is being patient. So I would say, be patient if you can't surrender in certain circumstances. So, we're late for prasadam, I'm sorry. Hare Krishna. Shri Rupa Ki Jai.